middle linebacker, and leader of the defense, J.C. Sherritt, joins us. J.C., how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Very well. You've played on a lot of teams. Have you ever played on a team that had a defensive stretch as dominant as this defense is in right now?
No, I definitely haven't. You know, I haven't played on a group this talented either, so it probably goes hand in hand. And it's just, you know, it starts at the top with our coaches and runs through our players, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
How hungry, like, I'm guessing for offensive guys, when they score goals, it just becomes infectious and everybody wants to score. Now that you guys just aren't surrendering touchdowns, how infectious is that, and how much pride do you sense your group's taking, not allowing any?
We definitely take a lot of pride in it. At the same time, you know, we take pride in picking the ball off and stopping the run and all those things. Is something we're constantly concerned with and always trying to be on top of. So we hold each other accountable, to say the least.
You had a season where you had 130 tackles, JC, and I remember talking to you and you said, "Man, you know, I was worn down after that." Right now, you know, through five games this season, you know, Pat Watkins leads your team with 23, and you only had to make 12 tackles, which I know guys maybe want to be involved more, but how much fresher do you feel because this team just doesn't have to be on the field that often and doesn't have to have one guy taking all the hits?
It's awesome. I mean, I think if you look back at that year where I had 130 tackles, there was stretches where our defense was just on the field all the time. And if you're a middle linebacker, you better make tackles. So to have this defense where, you know, some games, I mean, you might have two tackles. That's just the way it is. But you did your job and you won. And at the end of the day, that's all you got to care about. And if your ultimate goal is the Grey Cup, then to save our bodies and to have a rotation and to have depth, and you know, that's only going to help us.
J.C. Sherritt joins us. The rotation, J.C., I know Marcus Howard, the defensive line, they have a bet on who gets sacks. And so, you know, it's a healthy competition. And, you know, the guys want to be on the field. How much of an adjustment is it? And I know you did a little bit last year with Rennie Curran. You know, being on the sidelines, knowing when you're fresh, but the coach is like, no, we rotate guys. How tough is that being to adjust to that?
It was very tough for a lot of us last year because we weren't used to it. But then you look on the field and see the results. And, I mean, we all play special teams, so you got to check your pride. But if you can get that past that, then you can look up at the results. You can look at the scoreboard. You can look at what our defense is doing, and you can't really argue with it. So I think it's something in our second year everyone's just bought into. And we embrace it, and there's definitely competition. There's not a day goes by that we're not competing with each other, but it's healthy. And, you know, especially I can speak for the linebackers, we're all ecstatic when somebody makes a play.
Who's the most competitive on your defense?
Oh, that's tough. You're dealing with a lot of the same personality. I would say the D-line between each other is probably the most competitive because I mean, that sack thing, that's a different thing for them. I've never really grasped it, but they're all about those sack totals, that's for sure. So when one of them gets it, you can tell it tweaks them a little bit.
Does any of that competition spill over into the locker room? I don't know if you guys got any ping pong tables or anything in there, but does it continue away from the field at all? Like any cheeseburger competitions or anything?
It'll definitely trickle down in the meetings. Into basketball, it gets going a lot when we can shoot hoops. It doesn't really get turned off until we step out of the stadium completely out because it's certainly nonstop.
Who's the best baller on the basketball court?
As a group, it's the linebackers. I can guarantee it because Dex is 6'5", and Corey Jones is a great basketball player. And I'm obviously built to play point guard, so I think our group's taking down anybody. But there's some good hoopers, but I'm giving the linebackers the nod.
Can you dunk?
I can dunk off an alley-oop. I can't dunk with a ball in my hands, though.
Okay, that's
nice. I never got that part down.
Hey, that's all right. During the season, what are the rules to ensure guys don't get injured playing basketball?
We can only shoot. There's no guarding. We don't play one-on-one.
Okay.
There's no defense allowed. So every game we play is like horse or a three-point game.
Okay.
And, you can't really be within a five-foot radius of each other. That's basically the rule.
So basically you guys are all quarterbacks on the basketball court.
Exactly. We all got that don't touch jersey on.
JC Sherritt joins us. JC, you guys coming off another convincing win. The defense really controlled the game start to finish again. Now you move into BC on another short week, and your coach is very cognizant of that, kind of gave you an extra day off. Talk about BC looking at film. You know Travis Lule, he looks like he's healthy and back to the quarterback before. What does BC's offense do well?
Well, I think everything runs through Andrew Harris right now, and he's playing as good as I've seen him since I've been up here. You know, he battled some injuries, but he's back to being one of the top players in the league. And with Travis healthy, obviously with what he can do with his legs, we have to always be conscious of him because, you know, one little miscontain, one little misassignment, and he'll burn you. And that's what I think. Their heart and soul are those two guys. And they're playing very well right now.
You talked about Corey Jones and, you know, how he's come in and, you know, really replaced Rennie Curran almost seamlessly, because that's, you know, that was one of, you know, only a few changes you guys have made on your defense. What about Ryan Hines moving into your linebacking core and what he's brought to your group?
Well, the thing with Ryan is he's one of the smartest players I've ever played with. He can play probably six positions on our team. And those guys are invaluable due to injuries or being able to rotate like we do. He's able to go in and we don't miss a beat. And for the longevity of everybody and how our system works, it's a huge asset to have him on our team.
In your defensive scheme this year, JC, I know players talked at camp how Chris Jones was able to really open up the playbook a lot earlier because guys know what they do now. Have you brought in different tweaks to the system now in year number two? And should fans expect you guys to open it up even more? Or is kind of what we see, what we get with the defense?
Well, that's Coach Jones is, it's fun to be around him because his mind really never stops working. And it's always processing and it's always thinking on how we could be better. So, I mean, it could literally be we could be watching film and he can think of something that we should run it this way instead of this way. And we'll tweak it on the spot. And, I mean, we don't know what we're going to go with. I mean, you know, we know our base rules and our base assignments, but we're ready to play anything when we get in that game.
What is it about Coach Jones's defense that you like to play? Like how does his defense differ than other ones you've played?
It's so technically sound while you still have the ability to play football, be a football player, and just play fast. There's some defenses where maybe you're thinking a little too much or you're a little out of position. I mean, when you look at the film and we make a mistake, it's a player's mistake. You know, it's on us. It's not on him because he puts us in the spot to succeed. And as a player, I think that's all you really can ask for.
JC Sherritt joins us. Eskimos on a four-game winning streak, 4-1 on the season, first place in the West Division. JC, it's, you know, last year obviously was a good turnaround season for this team, but this year, as you talked about, maybe the most talented group you've ever been on defensively, and, you know, the team's winning. It relates to special teams, which guys are taking more of your defensive players are taking snaps on special teams as well. Is there just a different sense now in the locker room, even from last year, about winning? Like, last year was just trying to learn how to win again, it seemed. You know, a lot of guys hadn't experienced that. And now, do you sense you have more of a championship or bust mentality?
It's definitely progressed. And, you know, there's not a game we don't go into that we're expecting to come out on top. And we're still learning that process, and we're still learning how to be winners. Because that's not a one or two day thing. That's an everyday thing, which we're not there yet, but we're definitely progressing towards it.
What do you need to be winners? Simply win the championship? Is that the only way?
Yeah, I mean, at this level, if you don't win your last game, that's all that counts. That's all anybody remembers, and that's all anybody talks about. So that's our ultimate goal. But with the CFL season, if you don't respect the process, you'll get left behind real quick. You know, a lot of teams can start out fast and just get buried at the end because they get confident or they get complacent. And that's where that's what we got to avoid, and we just got to continue to get better.
JC, one last one. Coach Jones, one of the initial things he said when he was hired December of 2013 was the Eskimos were going to be a better home team. You're coming off a 1-8 record at home, and now you guys have only lost two home games since he took over as a head coach, including the playoffs. I know you don't necessarily focus more at home than you do on the road, but why is Commonwealth now suddenly a tougher place to play for opposing teams?
You know, it's hard to put your finger on, but we're certainly very comfortable at home, and our fans have been great. It's just we feel great walking out on our field, I guess is the only way to explain it. But as good as that is, we got to get better on the road at the same time. And that's what we're working toward. We talk about, you know, learning to be a winner. Well, you got to do it both ways. So, you know, we love playing at home. You know, there's nowhere else we'd rather play, but we got to learn how to play on the road too.
Well, JC, best of luck Thursday in BC.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me on.